You get him? Welcome, church. It's great to have you as we worship God on this last Sunday in September, and we get to celebrate all the wonderful things that He does in our life and in our world. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget, you can see the cones out front. We are officially ready for our first COVID-appropriate CEC rally day. So it's going to be a lot of fun right after worship from 11:30 to 12:30. We're going to have some fun games, but socially appropriate following all of our protocols. It's a great opportunity for some fellowship. There will not be any food involved with that. So no hanger after worship, please, but we'll have an opportunity to really get excited about this upcoming Sunday school year. And transitioning from that, next week we will have our first Zoom Sunday school session for the entire family. That will be from 8:30 to about 9:15. We're going to give this our first opportunity, work out the kinks as we go, but we're excited to offer this to you. I'll be sending out a link in our weekly email. It is the same link that we use for all of our Zoom worship services. You can just click on that and join us. So we look forward to that opportunity as well. And then the day before that, don't forget we have our fall festival. We'll finally be here from 4 to 6. $5 meals and carryouts only. I encourage you to get here early. If we have the attendance that we did for our strawberry festival, 5:30 may not get it done that day. So encourage you to come out as soon as you can. The joint board met last Monday, and we came to the conclusion as we listened to God's direction that we feel that on Sunday, October 11th, that is the Sunday that we will return to worship in our sanctuary. The important thing to note is a return to the sanctuary does not mean a return to completely what we would call normal worship, but it does give us an opportunity to worship in our sanctuary once again. So there will still be masks, there will still be social distancing. We'll probably have an elder and trustee at each point to help guide you to different sections, very similar to the setup that we had for that Sunday when we had the rummage sale and we had to make do in the sanctuary, which sounds weird to say, but we were able to make it happen. So I'm confident we'll get that. We're excited about another step of progress towards that getting back to normal stages. Next week, we have a little surprise for the rest of you in the congregation. The Moravian Day of Mission was actually scheduled for last Sunday, but we'll be participating in it next Sunday, and it's going to be completely different format than it was last year. What we're doing is the joint board and the CEC have teamed together to make Day of Mission bags for members and families in our church who have not been able to join us in worship because of COVID. So we have about 19 to 20 bags just to let these people know that we're thinking of them. The CEC and the joint board dropped off items for those bags. So what we are asking your family to do is I'll coordinate with those of you who will be attending worship next week, and I'll look for a name or two of an address that is somewhere near your location or your household, and all you have to do is drop that off on somebody's porch and let them know that Shenbrun is still thinking about them, we still love them, and it's just our way to make sure those who cannot be physically with us know that they are spiritually connected to us, and it's part of that family aspect of church. So it's a very, very easy Day of Mission, but still an opportunity for us to serve. And then next week as well, next week's going to be a busy week, but we will also have Holy Communion in celebration of Worldwide Communion Sunday. That's all I have for announcements. Let us stand and greet, or wave to one another. Sorry, habits. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Our next scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. Jesus entered the temple court, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him.
Amen. Thank you, Jean-Ann. At this time, instead of having our liturgy of reflection, we're going to have a special video that was given to us by the Tuscarawas County Anti-Drug Coalition. They've been doing Hope Sunday ever since I've been in Ohio, and I've just been touched by the outreach that comes from it. Hope Sunday is about reaching out to those who are struggling with addictions and difficult issues like that. And really, knowing that we're in the midst of an epidemic there as well, but also realizing that there are stories in our community and in our world that give us hope. Hope that people can recover. Hope that people can bounce back. Hope that people can reconcile with their family and friends. So we're going to watch this video now as an opportunity to look forward to the hope in this battle against so many addictions that people in our community right here are struggling and suffering with. Actually, as Paul works on this, why don't you actually take out your whiteboard and list some of kind of your hopes for our community as we wrestle with some of these challenges that we're facing, especially with the addiction. Maybe there's somebody, a family or friend that you're thinking about. But let us think of some of the things that we have to be hopeful for.
To lose, it ain't like you've never tried, but life ain't been too fair to you. You can't feel a thing inside, and you don't know what to do. You just look up to the sky, heaven gon' rain down on you.
Thoughts of suicide were constant, and I mean it was a daily basis. That was a lot of the reason I used back then, was I didn't know how to handle all these emotions and feelings going on with me, and I needed to drown that. I needed to numb that pain because it was really intense and it was severe and it was there. I isolated. I mean, big time. I don't want to be around nobody. I don't want nobody to be around me.
I felt trapped. Like either I was going to die from it or I was going to get delivered from it. Like it was like too completely extreme.
I have to make myself do stuff, because if I don't, I'm in trouble. I've thought suicidal thoughts, I guarantee it, since coronavirus. You know, it's a, like I said, it's a struggle for me. Have I thought about it? You better have. Have I done stuff about it? Yes, I have. I have to do something, or I know what the end result of that's going to be. The end result of that's going to be is I'm going to take it, I'm going to pull the trigger, and I'm going to do it again. This time I'll do it right.
So insanely depressed that it can cause suicidal thoughts, worse depression, which causes more isolation, and it just feeds upon itself, and it literally ruins every individual, and it's just kind of like a dark infection that just starts to spread.
To say, well, look what you're doing. You shouldn't be going to church. You're high. You're having sex outside of marriage. You're doing this. You're doing this. You shouldn't be at church. That's where you should be.
If it's really in deep with them, that's where the church needs to say, hey, you know, say it's you and you're just at your deepest, darkest moment, causing more isolation for you. I need to be pounding on your door saying, are you all right? Hey, man, let's go get some coffee. I don't have to preach to you. You should be able to see God through me, and I should be able to penetrate through that darkness and say, I just love you. I just want to hang out. And that's what people want to know.
I know you've been through the fire. Life ain't been too fair to you.
Heaven gon' rain down on you. even with my struggles, I have that peace. I don't have to fight it anymore. God finally said, hey, wait a minute. Remember when I said I'm not done with you yet? I meant it.
As you can see from that video, actually all of that was filmed in Tuscarawas County. The Daily Grind should have looked very familiar to you, and a lot of the people who were portrayed in that film were very involved with it as well. I'll get my intro music. So what are some of your hopes as we deal with the addiction issues and some of the other big issues that we deal with in our community? The virus will be gone. That will help. That will help too. Hey, we'll take that too. We'll take all the hope. That's good hope. Does anybody else have any they want to share? I think for me, we said just a better world for our kids. I think when as I got involved with T4C and I serve on that committee, hearing all the different community groups talk about the different layers that addiction have on our community. The number of kids in our community who are being raised by their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, their family, friends because of addiction, I think those numbers would surprise you. And if we can do more to help those people, we can do more to help our kids, and all that goodness, all that hope will continue to build up. So that is what our hope for our future is. And we see, like that young man in that story that we just saw, victory does happen. It can be very hard. Recovery is a constant effort for people every single day. But if they have the support system, if they know that they are loved by God and by the people around them, they have the ability to turn their lives around and do wonderful things, because they can help other people who are going through the same things, because they can say, I know exactly what you are going through. So let all of us, as we especially enter our time of prayer, to think about all those who are struggling with addiction and recovery challenges. And let us now transition into a time of prayer as we share in the prayers of the people. In our prayers, we certainly remember Hope Sunday, as we just talked about. We also want to offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to Kathy Cummings' family after the passing of her father, John Walton, unexpectedly this week. I was able to be at that memorial service Friday, and I could tell what a strong and faithful man he was, very involved in his church. I got to see wedding pictures from him and his wife, Kay, who were married in Shenbrunn Church, not when this church was very old, so it was great to see some of those beautiful pictures and those connections. But we certainly uplift prayer for Kathy, her family, and we just pray for comfort and peace for all of them. Some prayers of joy happened this week as well. Last night, Brock Stafford got engaged to his now fiancée, Samantha, so we celebrate with them as they look forward to a future wedding. And then Cheryl Bahari welcomed her first granddaughter into the world this past week. Magnolia Jane, 5 pounds, 11 ounces. We welcome this beautiful girl into the world. I love that name. It's so pretty. And we also continue to pray for the health and the safety and the peace of our world. We pray for our county, which has gone up another level, and many other places across our nation that continue to be impacted by COVID-19. Just keep our schools, our students, and our staff safe as they continue to go on with their lives as well. And then I can't mention sports teams in prayers, but if the Brewers win and they make the playoffs today, so a nudge might be helpful, because they need all the help they can get sometimes. But and let us just continue to give thanks for these beautiful days that we get to enjoy, that we get to be a part of, that makes this 2020 a little bit more manageable when you can feel the beautiful sunshine on wonderful days like today. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let's we'll look at our slides, and then if you have any prayer concerns that you want to share personally, now would be a good time to write them on your whiteboard as well. Any prayer concerns to share at this time? We certainly lift up Malia in prayer. Emily has a friend and a client who've asked for prayer as well. Fall sports seniors who are able to do our senior walk. I think that's a wonderful prayer. Go Braves. And you got me to say that right away, too. Yes, go Braves. Well played, Chloe. Well played. But yeah, I certainly give thanks for all of our fall athletes and band kids and extracurricular activities that our kids have been able to do safely as well. Does anybody else have any other prayer concerns to share? All right, let us quiet our hearts and come to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we feel this cool breeze on the back of our necks, may we feel your presence in our lives, in our world, knowing that you function just like a breeze. Even though there are times we cannot see you physically with our eyes, we can feel you. We can feel the love, we can feel the grace, we can feel the mercy that you are presenting in our world. We especially want to give thanks for some wonderful things that happened in our congregational life this week. For the birth of a new baby, for Brock's engagement, for so many wonderful things that continue to happen in our lives, we want to say thank you. But gracious God, we come before you knowing that to be in full relationship with you, we need to share what burdens our hearts as well. So we continue to be afflicted by this COVID-19 crisis, knowing that our hearts are heavy and tired with this battle. Unlift our burden, O God. We come before you, knowing that one of our own is grieving the loss of her father. And we come before you, God, asking you to lighten her burden. And we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. We pray especially this week for those who are battling addiction. Gracious God, we know that is such a difficult battle and no one can face it alone. So gracious God, please unlift their burdens as well. And as we celebrate our rally day in a new and exciting format, help us to remember that you created us to adapt. You created us to seek new ways to find hope and joy and love. Because the resilient spirit that lives within each and one of us is a gift from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the strongest, most resilient, and most humble Savior to walk this earth. And we are so grateful to follow in his footsteps. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn our time and our attention to our offering. No offering plate to pass around once again, but we just want to continue to just say thank you to everyone who continues to give to the church, to our local community organizations. We truly are blessed with a giving culture that is happening not just in our local church, but across the United States right now. People have really stepped up to make sure that churches can remain very involved in their communities. So as we give today, let us remember that all tithes, all offerings, and all gifts we give are given to God. Now turn our attention to our children's chat today. And so what we're going to talk about this week, kids, is have you ever told your parents one thing and done another thing? Yeah, I'm hearing some knowing laughter there. Say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to clean my room. I promise. But you end up doing something different. This is a gospel text for anybody who struggled with that. So I'm going to give you some scenario of kids. I know you kids have never done it, but I'm going to give you some scenarios, some other kids who have experienced this, and I want you to tell me which of those kids listen to God the best. So I'm going to give you a scenario. The first one's about three brothers. So I'm going to tell you about brother one, brother two, and brother three. And when I'm done, I'm going to ask you which brother do you think did God's will the best, and I want you to stick a finger in the air of which brother you thought did the best job. So, this is a story about three random brothers, who were listening to their mother and their father one day. And their mom told them to do the dishes. The very standard thing to ask in a family of five people, to do the dishes. So the first brother, brother number one, let's just say he's the oldest brother, he smiles and he says, "Sure, Mom, I would love to do the dishes." But what does he do? He goes to the den and he goes and plays video games for the rest of the day, never touching the dishes. But then comes along the second brother. Mom asks him to do the dishes. And that brother shrugs his shoulders, but he rinses a few dishes, but he doesn't actually clean them or put them away. He just leaves them in the sink to make it look like he kind of did the dishes. But then comes the third brother, the youngest brother, who when his mom asks him to do the dishes, you know what he does? He pouts. He says, "Mom, I'm not going to do those dishes. That's somebody else's job to do." But then you know what he realizes? 5 minutes later, he calms down and realizes that the smartest thing for him to do is to do the dishes. So he goes and he does all the dishes and he does them well. So which of those brothers did the best job? Brother one, brother two, or brother three? Let's see what you got. Wonderful. Good job. Good answer. Because brother three, even though he wasn't sure at first, even though he complained the most, he did what was asked of him. So let's just say for our next example, there's two sisters who happen to live in the same household. Just two random sisters. And their teacher, on Friday at school, she assigned them with a lot of math homework. Big textbook full of math homework. And sister one, the older sister, what she does, the first thing she does when she gets home from school is she goes to the back of her math book. If any of you have gotten older, you can go to the back of your math book in some cases. You can get the answers for all your questions, and she writes them down. She cheats and she copies them, but her parents think she's done a wonderful job because she got her homework done first thing. But the second sister, the younger sister, she procrastinates. All weekend, her mom has to be on her and her dad constantly. "Have you done your math homework? Will you do your math homework? Please, for the love of God, do your math homework." But eventually, late Sunday night, she finally gets around to it, and an hour before bedtime, she does all of her math homework. It's not the most beautiful thing, but it's done. Which sister did a better job, sister one or sister two? Sister two, that's correct, absolutely. She had to be pushed into doing it, but eventually she did her job. And the last scenario happens to be a brother and a sister. So two other people who could relate to that. And their brother, this brother and sister in this family of four, their dad wakes up on Sunday morning, and you know what he tells them? He says, "You have to go to church today no matter what." And the sister sits there and says, "Great, Dad. I would love to go to church. I would love to be a part of church." And you know what she does when church starts? She sleeps through the entire service. Her snoring is so loud it disrupts the pastor, her pastor who can barely hear, but can hear her snoring. That's how loud it is. But then number two is the brother. And Dad says, "You got to go to church." What does he do? He pulls the covers way back over his head and says, "No way. I am not going to church. Don't count me out. It's not going to happen." Then Dad's got to give him the WWE elbow slam to get him out of bed. But he finally wakes up out of bed, and he goes to church, and you know what he realizes? He has a good time at church. He gets something out of it. He listens. He learns about how Jesus works in his life, and he feels closer to God. Who did a better job, listening to God. The sister, number one, or the brother, number two. Aubrey's got it. Yeah, number two, the brother. So what I want you to remember from those scenarios is just because you say you're going to do something, that's not most important. It's your follow-through. It's your actions. You're willing to actually do what you say. Because some of the most valuable things we have in this world is our words, our ability for people to trust us. And if you become a trustworthy person, your words have incredible value. But if you're somebody who always says you're going to do something and you never follow through with it, people will never trust you no matter how sincere you are. So that's why we as Christians, we have to be very vigilant in making sure that our words are followed by the correct action. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless our children and just remind them that even though that their parents come with them with tasks they may not want to do with their first impression, but they still take the time to listen and do what's asked of them, that they are doing God's will. Even when there are days they don't feel like coming to church and they still find a way to enjoy it and feel God's presence, they are doing your will. And help each of us as adults understand it too, because our words and our actions matter a great deal. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Let us turn our attention to our message today. So as we kind of alluded to in our children's chat today, this is a good gospel text for anybody, myself included, I'm guilty of this, who is known for having a cynical first thought when you have the opportunity to be compassionate. So I'm thinking about that homeless person you see with a sign in front of you when you're at one of these T-County stoplights, and that person asks for help. And you've got $5 sitting in your wallet that you know that you could give that person. And I'll be honest, the first thing I think about is what I could do with that $5. I think about, I'm a coffee addict ever since I've been in ministry. So I think about, if I hold on to that $5, that's good for a drink at Starbucks, one coffee that'll probably get me at Starbucks. If I go to Daily Grind, I can probably get two coffees with that. And if I stick to good old-fashioned Speedway, I got a week full of coffee right there just sitting in my wallet waiting for me. But if I am able in that moment to think about that, process that, and still find a way to give to that person anyways, that is still holy giving. That is compassionate giving. We can still do it, even if our first instinct doesn't feel right. And I think about those of you who on a Saturday morning, this is also a great opportunity, and you have had a heck of a week, and it gets to Saturday, and all you want to do is make that big body imprint in your couch, right? You want to catch up on all those Netflix series you've been waiting on. But you know where you are? You're at the church rummage sale, doing the best you can. You're at a fundraiser, raising money for the hospital or the school, or it's 8:30 in the morning and you're watching your kid play soccer in the pouring rain and it's 45 degrees. Yeah, I see some knowing looks from there from parents who have ruled that. But if you're willing to do that, even though your first instinct is that you'd rather not, that's still holy giving. And when we look at that from a deeper spiritual level, when you have those moments in your life, and we've had a lot of moments in 2020 where it felt like our spiritual cup is running on empty, where there's nothing in that glass. And when it comes time to pray, and we don't really want to have a heart-to-heart with God, but you know what? We still make time to tell God, oh Lord, please help me through this rough patch, this bad day I'm having, and all you can say is those two sentences, that is still holy giving, compassionate giving. And what Jesus is telling us in this parable is that it is okay if your first thoughts or your first reaction to helping somebody to serve your God and your neighbors, it's okay if those thoughts are not all sunshine and beautiful unicorns and you wake up and you just feel like you just want to help the world It's okay if you struggle with that. Because none of us are expected with our first reaction to be Mother Teresa. None of you have that expectation placed upon you. But what does matter is our second thought, our second deeper thought when we have an opportunity to serve. Because that's where our thoughts are turned into actions, actions that can make a difference. And I want you to think about it, because I was reading a couple weeks ago, and one person, the author I was reading, talked about the only thing that every single person in the world can affect equally is their reaction to anything. If you think about it, think about that, because none of us get to choose what happens to us, but all of us get to choose a response to what happens to us, no matter what that thing is, whether it's a flat tire happening, or we lose money in the market, or stuff like that. All of us get to choose a response. A response is something that each of us have the opportunity to give. And the thing about Christianity right now is there are far too many people and churches that are saying yes to helping those afflicted in the great call of mission that happens in Matthew 25, which is the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned. And they say it on their lips and they do nothing about it. At least not anything that requires risk, commitment, or could change your worldview. Actually, I have a typo there. It says anything that requires Rick. So Rick, apparently you're not allowed in any mission work according to this typo. But anything, they're not willing to do anything that requires risk. So let me take some time and I'm going to describe two churches to you. And I want you to think about which church you want to be a part of. What mission do you want to support? Because there's a big and beautiful church, and it's actually called The Mission Church. And serving others is in their mission statement. It's what they live for. It's on their bulletin board, their television ads, and they have billboards anchored all throughout their community about how they are the Mission Church. But when it comes time to serve at this church, they stick to their canned food drives for the homeless, joyful noise offerings for the less fortunate, and their mission trips are good excuses for family vacations outside of the United States. What they really want is a great profile picture for their Facebook account and not so much a spiritual experience for God. And now I want to talk to you about another church. Let's just say this church is called St. John's or St. Luke's or St. Mark's, one of a thousand of churches with that name. They don't have a catchy name. And they don't have a flashy mission statement either. In fact, if you polled every single member at that small church, most of them would tell you that a mission statement has never existed or nobody ever told them about it. And they don't advertise on Facebook. Most of those people don't know what that is anyways. But they open their church doors once a week and they operate out of their kitchen, a soup kitchen for the community. And what's special about their soup kitchen, what keeps people coming back to it, is that they know the people that walk in through the door by name. They don't just know what they're going through, they actually know them as human beings, as equals. And you know something about this church? It's not perfect. Most of their board meetings are spent passionately arguing the most efficient way to share limited resources with people in the community and the world who need it. And they aren't a hip or trending church. They're not growing exponentially every week, but they love one another. And that love extends far beyond their own church walls. So brothers and sisters, I ask you, which of those churches do you want to be a part of? Which of those churches do you want to support? Because that first church, the missional church, has mission on their lips, on their words, but that second church, they are the ones that had the sense of mission implanted in their hearts. They truly cared about what they believed in, what Christ was teaching them. And Paul makes it clear in his epistle to the Philippians that Christ is looking at our hearts and our actions. Philippians 2:3-4 said, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. We are called to look at this world beyond our own needs, beyond our own selfish ambition." And one of the reasons I think it's an important message for especially Moravians to hear, because when we talk about mission work, we love to brag about what we did in the 18th century and the global presence that has happened in the Moravian church. And I think those are wonderful things to celebrate. But on the day we leave this earth, on the day we account for the life we lived in this world, Christ is not going to ask us, just because we're Moravians, what Count Zinzendorf did to build the church, to make people better disciples of Christ. He's not going to ask us, even though Schönbrunn Village is less than a mile from us, what did David Zeisberger do to build the church? God is going to ask us to be accountable for what we did to build the kingdom of God. And we don't want to give God a history lesson. We want to give God a personal testimony about how accepting Jesus Christ into our heart and into our lives changed how we lived our lives on a day-to-day basis. Now, that doesn't mean you became a missionary in Haiti or Korea for 30 years, but it should have an impact on how you live your life day to day when you have the opportunity to give to somebody. Because as Moravians in the 21st century, we are called to make our own impact and our own legacy. We are called to make sure that mission work stays in the present tense and not in the past. And you know, when it comes to be 2250 or 2300, 150 years from now, 200 years from now, I hope that the Moravians, if the Moravian church is still around at that day, I hope they're still not talking about just the 18th century. I hope there's something that we did in the 21st century that left an impact, that left an imprint on the generations to follow us. Because we are called as Christians, as disciples, to make sure that mission work stays in the present moment and not in the past tense. Brothers and sisters, we are called to serve. We are called to give. So let each one of us, in our own way, with our own unique gifts, go out there and do it. And be missionaries for Jesus Christ every single day of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you today, we ask that you remind us that when we say with our lips that we are disciples of Christ, that we are willing to risk ourselves to share the gospel, to share your mission, that those words are not empty, that they follow conviction and truth and action. And when we think about the opportunity to be missionaries in our world, please don't let us be intimidated by us. Don't make us feel like we have to go 10,000 miles across the world. But think about the missional opportunities we have in our house, in our community, and in our world around us. Because even in small conversations with acquaintances, we can give testimony to the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And it is never on us to convert people, but we can open a door to welcome people to Christ. And we know you will take it from there. You will help build that personal and wonderful relationship that each and every one of us are seeking with you. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Let's now listen to a wonderful hymn of reflection. brothers and sisters, go forth from this place knowing that each and every one of you are called to be missionaries for God with specific gifts that only you have, with specific skills and personal connections that only you can bring to the kingdom of God. So know that each and every one of you are unique missionaries made in the image of God, and you bring so much purpose and so much giftedness that the kingdom of God is grateful for you. So let us go forth from this place. Actually, let's go into our CEC rally day knowing that we are equipped, we are cared for, and we are loved. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we'll obviously do dismissal a little bit different. There's no requirement for you to stick around if anybody doesn't feel comfortable yet or